Welcome back in. This is Matt Harabee on SB Nation Radio, and now on the phone with us to talk baseball is Nick Kirby, former classmate of mine, and now he writes for the Bronx Pinstripes, New York Yankees blog, wrote a really good article on the New York Yankees today. We're going to hop around all of baseball, not just talk about the Yankees. Nick, first, thanks for the time. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'd be doing a little bit better if we would have taken this series, but good to hear your voice. Good to hear you.
Absolutely, man. I'll tell you what. I watched the entire game today, and it was a good game. 7-7 going all the way into the extra innings, and the Yankees were down by one run in the 12th inning, and then everything looked great. Bases loaded, nobody out. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton come to the plate. Judge grounds into a double play, ground ball to the pitcher, then back to home, and then third. And then Stanton, who set a record today, which we'll talk about, he had five strikeouts in the game. He strikes out with runners on first and second, and the Orioles end up winning the game. First of all, what do you think about Stanton coming to New York, how that all went down with Derek Jeter, that sale? We'll get into these Yankees, but what did you think when you first heard Stanton was going to be a Yankee this year?
Well, Matt, it's interesting. You had a lot of people screaming collusion. You know, this is Derek with his old team. This is shady. But listen, there were maybe two or three teams that could have afforded to take on that contract, right? The Astros, the Dodgers, the Yankees, maybe the Red Sox. Giancarlo didn't want to go to the Red Sox. He didn't want to go to the Giants or the Cardinals, right? He had the meetings there. And we were kind of just the ones who were left over, right? Brian Cashman checked in with Derek at the winter meetings. They discussed it as a possibility if the Yankees would be unable to get Ohtani, which, as we all know and we'll get into, you know, they swung and missed on him. So it all became pretty reasonable. They worked out the money. You sent Starlin Castro and his $12 million over to Miami, and you actually had a deal. And people don't realize, Matt, the Yankees' payroll is seventh
yes.
in major leagues. Even with Stanton, I mean, they could afford him, and, you know, Brian Cashman got it done. I thought it was fair.
Nick, what should Yankees fans make of Giancarlo Stanton's early struggles? He had that great opening day where he had two home runs, but I think he's batting like 160 now, and he became the only player in Major League Baseball. I couldn't believe this had never happened before. He became the only player in Major League Baseball over the course of a season to have no hits and five strikeouts in two games. I personally can't believe that's never happened, but I mean, I'm not going to use the word panic because we know that it's very early on in the season, and when you have power hitters like the Yankees do, they're going to get hot and they're going to get cold. But I mean, you heard boos at Yankee Stadium today. Where should the concern be in terms of Giancarlo Stanton?
Well, I don't think there should be any concern. I mean, look, it really reminds me when the Yankees brought in A-Rod in 2004, he was coming off an MVP season. He was age 28, just like Stanton is, and he really struggled in the beginning. I mean, he was horrible that first April. He got booed. He was getting used to it. This guy's coming from Miami, never played in a playoff game, never played in a really meaningful game. And, yeah, he did have the two homers in Toronto, but now he's at Yankee Stadium, and it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more pressure. I think he's going to be just fine, but there is going to be an adjustment period, and you had to kind of see it coming a little bit with the transition that he made, you know, professionally and personally.
Nick Kirby is our guest. You can follow Nick on Twitter at CurbStomp2. Wrote a new article regarding home and away and how the Yankees are going to have success on the road this year for Bronx Pinstripes, a Yankees blog. Now, Nick, I want to ask about the bullpen because that's the one thing that jumped out to me in the first four games of the season. You had Robertson blow it with a grand slam against the Blue Jays. You had Aroldis Chapman give up a run in game number three. Now, Chapman looked great yesterday. And actually, Betances, who was really bad early, he actually had a good outing today. But the Yankees bullpen, if you were to compare the Astros and the Yankees, and you talk to people, specifically I've talked to a lot of people here in Houston, and the people who are giving the Yankees the advantage over Houston in Houston say it's because of the bullpen. Should there be a level of concern with the Yankees bullpen right now, or do we just need the season just needs to progress a little bit here?
You know what, I think there should be a little bit, and I still think Houston is better, right? They acquired Gerrit Cole. They still scored the most runs in the majors.
Who looks great, by the way. Gerrit Cole, I was at his first home start. He was fantastic.
Unbelievable. We went seven innings, one run, and then he went seven shutout the next start, I want to say. He's off to a pretty hot start. And then my fear with him is they're going to, you know, same thing with Justin Verlander. You know, he goes over there, their analytics department takes a look at spin rate, and all of a sudden, you know, he's looking like Cy Young Gerrit Cole again. But the thing about the Yankees' bullpen, Matt, is they have a lot of firepower. They have a lot of big games. But very rarely do they all put it together. I mean, they blew over 20 saves last year. They had the horrible meltdown in Toronto. You know, they blew another game today. So for as you know, as sexy as the names are on paper, it doesn't translate to a whole lot of, you know, lockdown late in games, whether it's Chapman, whether Robertson letting up the Grand Slam last week, or Canley melting down the other night. Very rarely do they all put it together, and that's what worries me.
So, Nick, which team, I want to kind of get away from the Yankees here and go to the other New York team, the Mets. They're 6-1 to start. The Boston Red Sox are 8-1, two teams that the Yankees obviously hate. At what month this year can we schedule the New York Mets collapse? We do know it's going to happen at some point, but we don't know when. Which team do you think has a better chance of not making the postseason, the Mets or the Sox?
The Red Sox have a much better chance to make the postseason. Now, they've only played, you know, the feudal Florida teams, the, you know, the Marlins and the Rays so far, and they, you know, they absolutely have beaten up on them, but they're 8-1. But look, the Mets have very little depth. They're constantly relying on trying to keep these starters healthy, which, as we know, you know, is very tough. Bullpen is okay. The Nationals seem to have a lockdown on that division. I know they've started hot, but I think the Red Sox definitely have a better chance to make the postseason. And Matt, my birthday is August 23rd. I expect the Mets to be, you know, collapsing right around there as a birthday present.
That's the schedule time. Nick Kirby, our guest, at CurbStomp2 on Twitter, wrote a pretty good article regarding the Yankees home and away, and how important it is for New York to play well on the road this year. I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani, though, because he was absolutely fantastic today. Had a perfect game, I think, through six or through five. He retired the first 19 hitters of the game. Struck out 12, seven scoreless. Now, I made the argument earlier in the show, Nick, that he is really now in that Ichiro territory in terms of polarity. He's almost must-watch TV every time he gets to the plate and every time he's on the mound. How important do you think is he to the game of baseball this year? And what do you think of his start? It's incredibly impressive.
Wildly important. I mean, Rob Manfred has done things with case of play, with social media, ballpark renovations, desperately trying to get millennials and younger fans into baseball. And this guy, a guy that transcends the game, I mean, we haven't seen anybody like this in a while. He hits bombs. He has a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, a 68-mile-an-hour curveball. And he gets down the line, I think, in less than 4 seconds. He's one of the fastest players in the league, too. He really has no weaknesses as a player. And at age 23, I think he got a $2.3 million signing bonus, and then he makes, you know, $500,000 a year. It's an absolute steal from a business perspective, and it brings a little bit more relevancy to the West Coast, you know, in baseball, where a lot of people, they can't stay up late. But now you got him, you got Mike Trout over there. There's a little bit more national intrigue. I think it's great for the game.
And it also brings intrigue to the West Division of the American League. I mean, people here in Houston, including myself, were predicting at the beginning of the year that the Astros were going to run away with this division by double digits. I predicted they're going to win by 12 games. Well, to start, and I know it's very early on, we're 10 games in, but the Angels are only one back of the Astros, who are 8-2. I mean, the LA Angels are 7-3. How much should we be taking them seriously as a team this year? Because now, not only have Ohtani who's doing well, you got an MVP candidate every single year in Mike Trout. Do you think the Angels should be really taken seriously when it comes to the American League as a whole?
Absolutely. You know, I think, like, kind of like we saw last year, a wild card team like the Yankees won. They were able to win another series. I mean, I could absolutely see the Angels getting that first or second wild card spot. You know, Ohtani goes out and pitches a gem, and all of a sudden they're in the ALDS. And you know, in a five-game series, anything can happen, and I mean anything. And when you have Ohtani, if he can pitch two of those games, you know, DH the rest of them, Mike Trout gets hot, and they get some good outings from their starters, they could absolutely contend. I wouldn't be worried necessarily if I was a Astros fan, but I would definitely be thinking about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick Kirby is our guest. CurbStomp2 on Twitter writes for the Bronx Pinstripes, a New York Yankees blog. Okay, I want to go to the National League here. I'm looking at two teams specifically at the top of their division right now, Arizona 7-2. A lot of people kind of predicted them that they would make their run this year. And obviously, to me, there's two more competitive teams in that division in San Francisco and Los Angeles. And the Pittsburgh Pirates out of the NL Central are 7-2. That's another division that I think could be very tight. Which team should I believe in more to actually go the distance and sustain their first place role right now, Pittsburgh or Arizona?
Well, I would still go with Arizona. I mean, Pittsburgh's a team that a lot of people around the league were accusing of tanking. It's still really early. They still let go of McCutcheon and Cole. But Arizona's still good. I mean, people forget Arizona won 94, 95 games last year. You know, they won that initial wild card game. They beat Colorado. Greinke won that game. I mean, they're a tough team. They got overshadowed, obviously, because the Dodgers won 102, 103, kind of ran away with that division. But the Rockies are still dangerous. We still have Paul Goldschmidt, who's an unbelievable hitter at first base. They're a great team. That NL West, probably the best division in baseball.
No, I think it is. And, I mean, you've got four teams who could legitimately win. San Diego doesn't have a shot. The Dodgers started out slow, but Arizona, Colorado, San Francisco, L.A., to me, all have a shot. All right, give me a team. Okay, so the Minnesota Twins, Nick, last year were kind of that team that came out of nowhere, right? Like, they had a lot of young players, and the thought process was, okay, maybe they're 2 years, 3 years away, but they got a shot out of a cannon and played the Yankees in that play-in game, that really entertaining play-in game. Do you see a team in baseball, not either the NL or the AL, that, in your opinion, could be the Minnesota Twins of this year? Someone that we think might overachieve this year?
You know what? I'm going to say the Brewers. I think that NL Central is much more wide open than people think. Lester's getting up there a little bit. I mean, we saw kind of Darvish, right, kind of melt down in the World Series last year. I'm not as sold on the Cubs running away with that division as other people. I think the Brewers adding Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain to that outfield. They have a good outfield. They're going to score a lot of runs. They still have Ryan Braun, who can still hit. I mean, they're a good team, and I just don't see the Cubs winning 97, 98 like they kind of have in years past. I could see the Brewers sneaking up on them, making that really tough.
All right, so, Nick, I got about 45 seconds here. The Yankees, your article talks about their need to have road improvements this year. Expand on that.
Well, it's pretty simple, Matt. I mean, they were 51-30 at home in the regular season last year, and they went undefeated at home in the playoffs, you know, last playoffs. But they were terrible on the road in the playoffs. They went 1-6. They won one playoff road game in which Didi Gregorius bailed them out with two homers off Kluber. And, Matt, Tuesday they're at Fenway to face Chris Sale. What better test early in the season to see if they can be road warriors? It'll be Severino and Sale. I can't wait. Arguably, two of the three best pitchers in the American League. It'll be a good early test for him.
Without a doubt. He is Nick Kirby. You can follow him on Twitter at CurbStomp2, and you can read that article and all his articles about the Yankees this year. Bronx Pinstripes is the name of the blog. Nick, thanks for the time, and I look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you, Matt. Have a good one.
We're back after this on SB Nation Radio.